believe I can speak for my family in saying thank you for being here today. It means a great deal to us that you would come on such a cold day and such an occasion. You know, growing up, one thing that always stood out to me about my granddaddy was racing. You know, growing up with him, going to his house, I realize now he had more toy cars than I did as a 10-year-old boy. And growing up, you know, that I believe besides the usual family gatherings of Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter and those special occasions, I believe I spent most of my time with him at the racetrack, with him and then with my dad. I'd spend those Saturdays up in Bristol, Tennessee, waiting and waiting. You can imagine waiting as a 10-year-old boy for a race to start that evening and spending that time going to the drag races with him, going and all these different things that we were able to do together around the racetrack because he loved racing and cars so much. But not just my time I got to spend with him. I loved hearing the stories. I love the story. You know, my dad told me about this carburetor that he would take it off of a tank and drag race with it. And how I secretly wished I would have done that. You know, that I look at that and not just that story, but him going to Daytona, that there is a go-kart track in Daytona, I don't know if it's still there, that him and his friend Mr. Jack got kicked out of it because they raced a little too hard for their liking. And it was that legacy right there that my dad told me just a couple days ago. You know, that's what him and my granddaddy would do, would work on cars. My dad building his own car, that when I was 15 years old, that getting passed to me, I didn't want to buy a car, I wanted to build a car. That came from my granddaddy. But you know, one thing in life is true, that no matter how hard we race, no matter how hard we try, there's one thing we cannot beat, and that is death. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as those others which have no hope." Now, we don't have to sorrow as others sorrow. It's all right to sorrow. I think we can see that in the passage. It's all right to grieve. It's all right to mourn. It's okay. We can all have this feeling that we have suffered loss because we have. It's a part of life that we have this feeling. In the book of John, the shortest verse in the entire Bible is about Jesus losing a loved one, and it says he wept. That our grief today is all right. That our sorrow today is okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to miss him. It's okay because God didn't make us as islands, but he made us relational. That we are supposed to have these relations and have these feelings, and it's okay to grieve. But even our sorrow does not have to be the sorrow of others. See, death is not the end. The Bible here describes death as sleep. That's what you do between activities. You know, Jesus tells his disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them in John chapter 14. And in other places of Scripture, the Bible says that death is being absent from the body, but being present with the Lord. That death is not simply the end of this life, but it's the beginning of eternity. And so we have a hope today because we can be reunited. Now, I've been to many different places in the world. One of the reasons I was able to do those things is because my granddaddy and my mom all gave money so I could go around the world, and I've seen people sorrow who have no hope. But that doesn't have to be you. That doesn't have to be us. Because this hope we have, it's not just an unconditional hope, but it is conditional. The Bible says in that next verse, it says, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." See, our hope is not that we're good enough. Many people believe if I'm good enough, if I just do enough good things, then I'll make it to heaven. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. You think if I go to church tonight, if I go to church enough, if I'm baptized, if I live a good enough life, then maybe, just maybe, I'll make it. But the Bible is clear, we're not good enough. We've all sinned, is what the Bible says. We've all come short of his glory. And sin is, of course, anything we've done wrong, not just our actions, but in our thoughts and what we think. You think, "I've never murdered anybody." But Jesus said that if we're angry with someone, if we hate someone, it's like committing murder in our heart, because God doesn't just look at our actions, he looks at our very thoughts. And that sin, according to the Bible, is why God says that, well, we must die. It says the wages of sin is death. Not just a physical death, where most likely we will all come to a physical death at some point. But this death is a separation from God forever. That we are not able to go to heaven, but we must be sent to hell, is what the Bible teaches us. But you see, the Bible doesn't stop there, because God does love us. And he didn't want us to suffer that eternity, that God wants us to be with him. And the second part of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That our hope today is that Christ paid for our penalty. That Christ came to this earth being born of a virgin, living a perfect life, dying on the cross, not for anything he had done wrong, because he did nothing wrong. But he died for me and he died for you. That Jesus, who was without sin, became sin that we might be his righteousness. So our hope is that God offers this eternal life as a gift. So you don't earn a gift, a gift is given. A gift is given and it is accepted. And God said that in order to accept this gift, well, there's two things. It's not being good enough. It's not giving enough money. It's not any of these things. No, it's two things. It's repent and believe. See, repent means to admit your sin before God. It means to tell God, I know I've broken your law. I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve punishment. But then we switch that. We don't stop there. It is to believe. It means to put your faith in Christ, to trust in him alone. It's not just trusting you plus Jesus. No, it's trusting in Jesus and him alone. It's not Jesus plus going to church. It's not Jesus plus being baptized. It's not Jesus plus anything. It is Jesus Christ and him alone. And by repenting and believing, we can have hope that our sins are forgiven. And we can have a further hope, because the Bible goes on to say, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. If we believe this, if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, not only get to be reunited with my granddaddy, but you know what? We get to be reunited with our Savior. That we get to be with him forever and ever and ever. And that should give us hope this morning. But perhaps this morning you don't have that hope, because maybe this morning you haven't put your faith in Christ. So this morning I'm going to ask you to do something. I would like you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And while your heads are bowed and just silently, I'd ask you to examine your heart. Is Christ alive in you? Have you asked him to save you from the consequences of your sin? Have you been made a son of God? You can just by asking. It's a gift. I believe it would honor my granddaddy greatly to know that when we remembered and celebrated his life, you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can simply pray a very simple prayer in faith. You can say, Lord Jesus, I receive the gift. I receive the salvation you offer. Redeem me from my sin. Make me your son. You can pray that today, and Christ can save you. And I hope you did. And some of you this morning, you've already done that in the past. Christ has changed you. He's made you into a new creature because you have repented of your sins. You have put your faith in him. So as I pray this morning, you can thank him for that salvation. Dear Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for the legacy and the life that you have given to me through my grandfather, through my granddaddy, through my dad. God, I thank you that you give us a hope. You give us a hope that in you we can be together, that the hope that you came to this world, that you died for our sins, and that we can put our faith in you, that we can have them forgiven and have the right relationship with you. God, I ask that you would comfort each one of us as we go through this. Help us to sorrow, but not sorrow as others sorrow. But we ask that you would help us to sorrow knowing that one day we will be together again. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.